Okay, welcome back to Rami Yomi. We are now in the second perek of Avodas Chachamim. We went through the first perek yesterday, referring to and discussing the history of the Jewish people, essentially, really, with the history of humanity and where it essentially left the path of serving God initially, back in Enosh's time, the grandson of Adam Arishon, and how that progressed over time from being initially a mistake into being Davka. Avodah Zara, serving idols, which are really images of different stars or spheres that were once viewed as being a way of serving God through serving those spheres, and then ultimately became directly a service of those spheres, those stars, and those angels, etc. And the Rambam now is, and the Rambam focuses then also on how basically Avram Avinu really found the way, found the path, passed that down to Yaakov, ultimately through Yitzchak and Yaakov. Yaakov to his sons through Levi. Levi then passes it down to the rest of the nation. They go down to Mitzrayim, almost lost it, and Moshe Rabbeinu basically is assigned to come and take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim so they don't go to the fourth, pass the fourth level of Tumah and don't lose this entire monotheistic perspective. Okay, so now let's go into the actual halachos of Avodas Chachamim. Where do we start? We get going in the second paragraph. Ikar atzivay ba'avodas chachamim, the essential commandment against the avodas chachamim shlo la'avod echad mikol habruim lo malach lo galgal v'lo kochav lo echad mi'arba yisodos v'lo echad mikol ha'nivrayim mehem. The ikar of the tzivay against avodas chachamim is not to serve any of the other kind of creations, not an angel, not a sphere, not a star, not any of the four yesodos, not four elements, namely earth, fire, water, and air. As we pointed out earlier, that those are in the Rambam's Halachas Sodei Torah, where the Rambam describes that those are the elements that describe that they create everything. Basically, they don't create everything. God creates everything, but they are the makeup. They are the elements in everything that is created in this world. And below Echad Mikol HaNivrayim Mehem, nothing that is created by those things. So essentially, anything that has a form in this world, basically from this world all the way up to Malachim, should not be served, should not be worshipped. In other words, and in doing so would be a form of Avodah Zarah. Some point out that actually the Rambam specifically doesn't start here with the typical kind of prohibition. Although he counts the prohibition of worshiping false gods as the first, actually, of the Rambam's 365 negative commandments when he calculates them all in the Sefer HaMitzvos, but he doesn't mention the prohibition this way. Basically, why? Because he introduced the prohibition initially in the Mishnah Torah when it came to the Sodei Torah in the first chapter, where he basically says. Remember, we went through that there's a mitzvah of Anokhi and then there's a lo yelecha. So this is now the Rambam basically just going through the details of what that mitzvah was, but it's not necessarily the way it would be written or categorized over there. Fine. The avakisha over yodeya shashem hu alukim. Even if the person who's doing avodah zarah knows that God is the king, knows that God is the God, the who over that nivra hazeh al derech shavar enosh ve'anshei doro. And this person is now serving this idol, serving this star, so to speak, the same way Enosh and the people of his time did in the beginning. This is still Avodas Chachamim. Even though it's basically a mistake that thinking that, oh, God really wants me to serve this, and God really wants that out of me. That's a mistake, yes, but it's still Avodas Chachamim. V'inyan zehu she'ezira Torah Allah ve'amro ven. The same basic idea. You're going to look at the skies. You're going to see that these things are clearly in charge. And because they're the ones that are basically controlling the world, then God clearly gave a sense of kind of honor, so to speak, to these parts of the right. Again, it might appear to these entities control the world. God gave been appointed by God to all the nations to be alive, to exist, etc., etc. And you might say, ah, therefore it's worthy to bow down to them. Again, the same way they originally did that in the time of Enosh, so too you might say that as well. Again, based on this, okay. Don't listen to your hearts. That's what the Torah says. Don't listen to your hearts. You might think, oh, in your heart, oh, I see that these things are in control. It must be that I'm supposed to serve them because that's a way of serving God because God gave them cover. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't serve these things. Don't allow these things to be an intermediary between you and your Creator. Don't allow anything to get in the way between you and your Creator. The Rosh Hashanah wants you directly, and nothing to get in the way of that. Great. So it's not only enough to not serve all these things, even in the wrong perspective, even if it's just a mistake. All of those are Avodah Zarah, but there's more to it. There are plenty of writings that the Chibud of Chachavim, that the worshippers of Avodah Chachavim, of idolaters, wrote down. Basically goes through all the different rules of going through, how to serve Avodah Zarah the best, and what are all the things, what are the ways, and what are all the rules. Don't read these svarim, klal, at all. And don't think about them. Not in one area in what they, what they're talking about. Even to look at the image of an idol would be asur. Don't turn to the idols. Don't ask about how people serve this idol. You're not serving them. You want to know? Tell me. I want to learn. I want to be cultured about Avodah Zarah. No! Don't become cultured about Avodah Zarah. It's going to cause you to go towards there. Osin, you're going to do exactly what they said. Shnei Ma'ave, Asa Kain, Gamani. And as the positive, you're going to ultimately do the same. So that's a problem. So the Rambam now is saying, not only should you not serve all these things, even with the wrong intentions, but also don't read about them, and don't be inquisitive about them, and don't ask about them. Just ignore it. Totally, totally block it out of your mind. Don't get involved. Don't pay any attention to it. Don't even look at it, because ultimately, the curiosity would cause one to stray off the path. And the Otzai Melech points out here, if you just see an idol, so it's okay. But if to sit there and to look and to ponder, that would be problematic. Okay, meaning what's his point? Meaning if you're walking down the street, happens to be a Zarah on the street, see you have to see it. Obviously, turn around. Don't bow down in that direction, et cetera, et cetera. But you see it, sometimes you can't always control exactly what you see. It's about how you react to that, seeing that. So if you sit there, you're looking into it, that's a problem. This is all part of the same category. Don't turn towards the Chachavim. And anyone who turns towards these Avodah Zarah in the way that would be a Maisa, an action, that would be a reason to get Malchus. Two quick points. One is that some of the commentators point out what would this action be regarding this Avodah Zarah, meaning not in the form of actually serving it, but just to kind of do something, any form of Maisa that would show I'm turning towards, again, not servicing. Servicing already was clearly also. Now I'm saying even kind of turning towards or being inquisitive or being involved with in any way would be a source of malchus as long as there's an actual action. So 2 points. One is, what would an action be? Maybe cover an idol with a blanket. I'm not serving the idol, but maybe I should cover it up with a blanket to keep it safe or whatever. Okay, that'd be a problem. Number two, that's an action to get machlokes. And number two is just a kind of a technical machlokes. The Sefer HaChinuch points out, and many commentators bring this out, Sefer HaChinuch in general points out that if there's a, in general, we saw this a number of times, that if you have a prohibition, that has no action to it, then you don't get machlokes for that. You don't get lashes in that situation. So says the Sefer HaChinuch, if one could effectively commit that prohibition without doing an action, so then it kind of transforms our understanding of that prohibition. In other words, it becomes a lav she'ein bo maaseh. It becomes a lav that doesn't have actions, because you could commit that prohibition without an action. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, let's say I then did that same lav with an action, even though it could have been without an action. I'm doing it with an action now, so maybe I should get malakos. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, no, because it could have been done without an action, so we treat it as a lav she'ein bo maaseh, and therefore I don't worry about the fact that now there is a maaseh. Again, in general, if I do a maaseh and it's a prohibition, if I do an action and it's a prohibition, usually the case is that you get lashes for that. If it's a lav she'ein bo maaseh, if it's a case that doesn't have a maaseh, so then or an action, right? So then you would not get malchus. So then here's like this kind of this in between gray area. Let's say you have a lav that can be done in both directions. It could be with an action, I could commit it, or I commit it without an action. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, as long as there's a possibility to commit it without an action, there's no malchus. Says the Rambam here, if I do this exact example, if I'm nifneh, right, achareha, if I perform a deed, basically, that reflects my concern for this avodah zarah, like covering it with a blanket, even though I could have already been over the isser through my thoughts or through my words, etc., in a way that is not an action. So the Sefer HaChinuch said, even though I cover the blanket right now, wouldn't get me malchus. No way. The Rambam clearly is saying that you would get malchus. Okay, so the technical my focus is this way, as to how we view a lav she'ein bo maaseh, if I can also do it with a maaseh. Does that transform it into being a lav with a maaseh? Or as the Sefer HaChinuch would say, no, it's a lav she'ein bo maaseh, even though I'm doing a maaseh right now. Fine. Going back to the Rambam, that was just a little bit of a tangent. So if I do that, then I get malchus. V'lo avodas v'chavim b'ladhu, and this is not the only thing which also, right, the Panos Achareah, the Machshava, ela kol Machshava shu gorein lo la'adam la'akor ikor me ikor ya Torah, mushorin onu shelo la'alosa al libeinu v'lo nasiach atinu l'kach v'nachshov z'nimashach acharei hurelev. Any action, says the Rambam, this is not only for avodas v'chavim that I'm not supposed to, you know, show any form of attention or concern towards. No, any thought, and again, now we're going back to the thought, the lav she'ein bo maaseh, any thought that could come into my mind and it could cause me, go ring low the adam akor ikrim akor ator, to cause me to uproot any form of one of the basic building blocks of the Torah, of the Yisori HaTorah, again, of the building blocks of the foundational elements of our belief system. Anything that would cause me to ruin those or to uproot one of those foundational elements of our of Judaism, don't bring that up into your heart. Don't kind of allow your mind to go thinking about it. And to think about it, to be drawn to it. And to go after the thoughts of our hearts. No, don't allow that to happen. This is very important, and this goes back to the previous, you know, the Rambam is giving us a kind of a framework of understanding humanity, of a human being. The Rambam says here, and he said it before as well, humanity is underneath all those other spheres. Right? Humanity is underneath all the angels, and underneath the spheres, and underneath the elements, right? All the way at the bottom of all of that. Why? Because their understanding of the world, not only the understanding of the world, but the understanding of God is more limited as you go further and further down. Says the Rambam here, because we have to understand that we're so limited in our thoughts and in our minds, we have to understand that's part of what we are. And so sometimes I don't understand something doesn't mean that it isn't what it is. Just because I don't understand it doesn't mean that's not the truth. I have to be able to understand that I may not grasp everything. And if I can't grasp everything, so I have to be careful not to go into the direction of things that would cause me to uproot my belief systems or go uproot anything about my religious experience, because any of those things could cause me on the wrong path and I won't know to catch myself. So says the Rambam, don't go in that direction either. It's not only avodah zarah, it's anything that could cause me to go in that direction. If I go after every single thing that my heart is, you know, thinking about, you're going to destroy the whole world based because of your limited knowledge. And the Rambam says destroy the world. Why destroy the world? So maybe it's just a kind of an exaggeration to try to prove a point. Or maybe it actually touches on Hilchos Tshuva. If you look in the third parak of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam writes in Halacha Dalid that a person should always see themselves and the entire world basically as equally balanced between mitzvos and averos, somewhere in between, right? Balance, exactly, that you and the whole world are all on this balance scale. And you're totally in the middle. And every person should view every sin they do as leaning the world in the wrong direction. Not only yourself in the wrong direction if you're on that balance scale, but you should view the whole world as being balanced. And then it would be off balance, off kilter balance in the wrong direction, which would be a problem for the whole world. So maybe that's what the Rambam here is referring to, that in specifically in this area, that a person could totally go makom as the olam. I would also just suggest, as a side, you can makriv, one person is, we always view one person as olam, and part of that is not only because the person in themselves is an olam, but also their future generations are part of that olam. How many people in that person's line would be totally off-kiltered in their belief system of the, right? We saw it already in the Rambam's first parak in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Right, where he talked about how Enosh in the time just had a couple of mistakes, and within 17 generations, right, by that point, no one in the whole world knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's Machrim HaSa'olam, so to speak. That's destroying the whole world perspective of the Rosh Hashanah. From Adam HaRishon all the way down to Avraham, Avraham had to refine the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Rambam writes specifically, and we were in Mitzrayim, it almost got lost again. Could have been Machrim HaSa'olam. How many generations would it take to be Machrim HaSa'olam? So think about that one individual who goes off the path and goes off the path because they decided to go start thinking about all these topics. The Rambam is going to list a couple of questions that all these things that took them off the path, away from the Torah. How many generations? How many children, grandchildren, great grandchildren? And you give it four or five generations, it's a couple of hundred people already. How many of those individuals would totally be off from the path of Torah and Yiras Shamayim because of that individual? That's Machrev HaSa'olam, that destroys the world, because how many of those people would have influenced other people, etc., etc., etc.? It reminds me of a picture from Sivan Rahav Meir posted just a while ago of a Holocaust survivor who was sitting at the Kotel, in front of the Kotel, with, I don't know, maybe it was 1,000, it looked like 1,000 people around her, and they were all her family, all her descendants, X number of generations down, maybe it was four generations down, and they were all part of that one large family. They were all Shomer Shabbos, Shomer Torah, Mitzvot, etc., because of her devotion, her consistency. That's an olam right there. That's a whole world. Just think about in three more generations how much larger that picture would be. That's incredible. She may not be able to witness that in three generations from now, but that's still there. So we have to think about that all the time when we're thinking about our own Judaism. That when we're carrying the Judaism, we're passing that baton on, it's not just for us, and it's not just for our children, it's for generations to come. Machrev HaSa'olam is not a simple thing to take to heart. Ketzav ha'amim yatur achar avodas kochavim. Right, so they're going to start thinking the following things. Sometimes you start thinking about it, but then you might start thinking, well, maybe God is one, maybe he's not one. What's above, what's below? Right, so all these big questions, what exists above heaven, what's below heaven, what's before time, what's after time? Maybe prophecy in general, maybe it's MS, maybe it's not MS, maybe it's true or not true. Maybe the Torah is from God, maybe it's not from God. Right? That's a serious question. These are serious, serious questions. And they're questions people are asking. Right? So the Torah tells us this, right? Because you know what's going to ultimately happen? We may not know. The person that's thinking of this question may not know whether to evaluate, how to evaluate these questions ultimately, and whether to find that they're true or not true, the answers that they come to. So says the Torah, don't go straying after your hearts and your eyes that are trying to pull you away. Don't go after their limited powers of understanding. Maseges Ha'emes. And don't think that because your mind is saying one thing that, oh, it could be that, and that you comprehended the full truth, and therefore the entire Torah and all the generations that came before you is totally wrong. How could you be? You're the one that figured it out? After all these generations, you're the one that's brighter than every other Jew that came before you? It's just, it's a lot of belief in one's own understanding, and lack of their limited understanding, kind of acknowledgement of their limited understanding that might lead someone in that direction. Says the Torah, don't go in that path because we could all be susceptible to this issue. Kach amru chacham acharelamchem zominus acharenichem zozinus. That's what Chazal tell us. After your heart, that's talking about heresy. Exactly what we're talking about. And after your eyes, zozinus, this is referring to immorality. The lavze apa pishahu gorim laadam latardam in a olam haba ein b'malkus. And even though this prohibition, even though it's super severe and it would cause someone literally to lose their olam haba, it's not an exaggeration, lose olam haba altogether, it's not with malkus. There's no malkus here. Okay? So what we're seeing already is the Rambam is bringing in Avodah Zarah, kind of this broader picture here of not only of the Zohar cutting us away from the Ribono Shel Olam and the Torah, but really any thoughts that might cut someone away from the Torah and Yiddishkeit would be a problem. Mitzvah chavim kineged mitzvos kulon ki. The mitzvah of chavim is like equivalent to all the other mitzvahs. Shneimar v'chi tishguba v'lo sa'asu. So the Torah tells us, you might err and not perform all the mitzvahs. So what do you mean, err and not perform all the mitzvahs? It says, right, we learn, what does it mean, you're erring? The erring is by serving Avodah Chavim. And then, you're not going to do all the other mitzvahs. Anyone who accepts Avodah Chavim or buys into that lifestyle is literally throwing away all the Torah entirely. Not only the Torah, but all that our prophets said. So from all the way from Adam Arishon, any one of the prophets that told us about the Ribono Shel Olam, etc., and his commandments, you're pushing them entirely and denying them entirely in your thoughts. And that's what I was saying before, right? It takes a lot of not only guts, but a lot of personal confidence to be able to say that my personal understanding is therefore greater than not only those who came before me, but all the prophets came before me, the Torah, etc., etc., etc. So it's a lot to kind of take that. If I call it Kofer Bavodas, we call it Mode V'chol HaTorah Kula, we call it Nevi'im, we call it Mash and Itzavu Nevi'im, and Adam, and Sofa Olam, V'chu Iker Kol HaMitzos Kulam. But the opposite is also very true. As we pointed out before, right, we talked about the individual who did keep to who survived the Holocaust and miraculous, just incredible to think about surviving the Holocaust and then raising generation after generation of from Jews. It's incredible to think about the Mesias Nefesh that such an individual really put into the lives of all those coming out of her, right? All of those generations, all the future generation offspring. An individual, the converse, anyone who says, get away from me right now, I'm not interested in any of this. And that person is considered to be accepting the entirety of the Torah, and all that the Nevi'im say, and all that we taught from the Nevi'im, from Adam and Sofa Olam. And it's fundamental to all the mitzvahs. Again, this is why, and this is the argument basically why the Rambam finds in the Sefer HaMadah, we started with Yisodei HaTorah, which understand, the basics basically, the building blocks of everything that we do. Then the Hilchos Deos, and then to understand how we're supposed to be living in our lives and how we're supposed to be working on ourselves, etc., and that's to say, live healthy, both spiritually and physically lives. And then, again, the Talmud Torah, obviously Talmud Torah is very important and critical to our, not only our own personal lives, but again, passing it on to the next generation. And then, now we're getting to Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Why Avodah Zarah? Why is this so significant? Because this is the big question. If you're going towards Avodah Zarah, you're going away from everything else. All this occurs that. And if you're going away from Avodah Zarah, that is the lifestyle that we're referring to. That's what we're talking about. Good. Right, says the Rambam, a Jew who served the Vosachavim is considered to be an Obey Kachavim. It's considered to be a non-Jew right away, right off the bat. The Chol Dvarav in every single way. The Enoch Yisrael, it's not like a Jew that did an Aveiro that gets Skilo. Right? No, they're not like that. Mumar la Vosachavim are who Mumar la Chol Torah Kula. Any apostate that goes further to the Vosachavim is like a Mumar to the entirety of the Torah. The Chenav Yisrael, Yisrael, Enoch Yisrael, anyone who is a heretic, a Minim, right? That the Kursim of Klai Yisrael are not like Yisrael Adavar Min Hadvarim, Vein Mekam Osam Mitshuva Le'olam, Shenem Rachal Bo'eha, Lo Yashuvun, Ve'lo Yasiva Archas Kayim. Right? We don't accept them back, basically, in their repentance to come back. Okay? There's a lot of discussion on this. This is the Rambam's perspective. That the Kursim Heim, Hatarim Achar, Machshavos Libam, Ve'sichlos Devarim, She'amardu, Ashinimtu, Ovrim, Al-Gufi HaTorah, right, so who are these individuals we're talking about? The person is Minim. These heretics, those are the ones who go after the ways of their hearts, the thoughts of their hearts, and they think about the foolish things that we talked about earlier, until they ultimately go against the entirety of the Torah, with arrogance and scorn, where they push against it, or the intent of basically causing God to get angry, and they say, there's no sin involved here, nothing at all. But also the Sapramim Mahem, you can't talk to these people. Lahashiv aleihem shuva. You can't answer them at all. Klaus shneimar ve'altikrav al pesach ve'isah. Don't let them get close to her. Don't do not come close to her door. Don't get involved in this. Machshava shalav. Of course, alavus kachavim. And it can be assumed that basically a heretic is thinking about these false gods, and that's what they're worried about. And that's why when you have conversations with them, we're worried that things are going to come out. They're going to be problematic. Now, the Nazer points and others also point out that when we say here that the person who serves the Zara is considered to be like a non-Jew in every single way, he says that the Nazer not so fast. There are some ways that they're considered to still be a Jew, whether it's be for kiddushin, for marriage, for gittin, for divorce, and for issues of ribis, of interest. They should not charge such an individual interest. The Rabbi points out regarding the monetary thing, let's say they left some things around in the community, some property, whatever it is. So if they totally left the religion, they totally left the community, so then, you might think, oh, I could take all their property, it's hefker, basically. Says the Rabbi, no, not so fast. Don't just start the Abed Mimono right on the top, right off the bat. If they start, if a man marries a non-Jewish woman and they don't have any Jewish children, so then at that point you can understand, you can assume that all their property is open and free for taking, because again, they're not coming back, basically. They're gone for good. So clearly there's some discrepancy here. I'm going to have the native point, the rabbit point, about exactly how far away from being a Jew they exactly are, and how it implicates and impacts the number of the different mitzvos. But we're not getting into all that right now. What the Rambam is basically saying is that such an individual that goes in this direction is basically no longer considered to be part of the Klal Yisrael. Now we can get to another category of the Rambam Selachos of Avodah Zarah. And you may have wondered, why is a blasphemer included in Avodah Zarah? A blasphemer? Well, yes, it's a problem, and it's anti-Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's a very big deal, but why is it doing Avodah Zarah? So I'm going to explain right now. Anyone who accepts the Vodas Chavim is basically, ultimately, even if they're not serving it, they accept them, if they accept the false God as being true, it's as if the Mecharef Megad, that they're blaspheming God's name, basically, the Chav Hashem, Chav Anichwa V'Anerda. V'echad HaVodas Chavim, V'echad HaMegad, V'et Hashem Shneimah, V'Nefesh HaShetas V'Yad Ravah, Min HaAzrach HaMin HaGer, HaAs Hashem Hu Megad. He's blaspheming God. And that's a problem. We connect the two of these, both of them get killed, and they get hanged, and they're executed by being stoned to death, right? So sometimes you see the Rambam kind of referring to his work, out from within the work about the work as a whole. And he's explaining, this is why, by the way, I'm including the halachas of Megadev here in Avodas Chochavim, Shneim Kofrim Be'Ikarehem, because they're both, you know, entirely heretics. But it's just fascinating sometimes to notice that the Rambam is kind of referring to his selection and his decisions to include things within the text itself. Ve'eluhein dinei ha-megadev. These are the halachos of a megadev. These are the halachos of an individual who is a blasphemer. Okay, so let's go into them. Ein ha-megadev chayav silo achi yifareish es ha-shem ani miyuchad shel arba osio shehu Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and then Yud, right? The name that you could spell out, right? Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and then Yud. If you say that name, Vivarech also, when you're going to see the word Vivarech here, this is Lashon Naki. This is a cleaner way of saying, you know, instead of saying that one would curse a blank right now, right? And then God, right? You say Vivarech, he blessed God, right? It's a Lashon Naki. You don't want to even write the words that one would come to curse again, God. So here is Vivarech also b'shem min Hashem she'inam in the chakim shneimar v'nogiv shem Hashem al shem yuchad chayav skila al shara kinuyim ba'azhara. Says the Rambam, if one uses the Aleph, then the Dalet, then the Nun, then the Yud, right, that name, and then uses another name, namely the shem yuchad, right, then they get skila. That's when you get skila. V'yesh mina mefarish, and there are those that say, no, she'ina chayav el al shem yud, and then the hey, and then the vav, and then the hey. Some say, you daka need the yud, the hey, and the vav, and the hey. But he omer shal shneim hu niskal. And I say, no, it's both of them. Both of these categories, when we get niskal, when we get skila, whether it's, one of these or the other. Okay, so it's, again, it's interesting, the necessity basically to have two, names. Initially at the start with the name, then to use another name, to actually do the form of cursing, and it's a very specific formula. As far as the Megadet Minayish, right? Minayish Nemar Elokim Lo Sekalel. Where do I know that I'm not allowed to? Where do I warn? You're not supposed to blaspheme against God. It says it explicitly. Don't curse God. V'chol Yom V'Yom Bo Kunes Ha'edim Akinuyim Yake Yosi Es Yosi. So it's very interesting when they do the bedikos of the Edim in general. When you have witnesses, let's say you have witnesses who experience someone being Megadet that blasphemed against God. So what do you do in general with witnesses? You have to test and you have to, see, are they telling the truth? Are they not telling the truth? You test and you ask them questions, et cetera. Where were you? To ask them all the basic questions and then all the more intense questions. But what's complicated here is that they can't say the actual words. It's problematic for them to say the words themselves, to say, oh, so-and-so said, blah, 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 curse, blah, 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 right? To say those words in itself would be blasphemous. So they have to be very careful. So they use them in kinuyim, yaki yosi es yosi. So it's, yossi, hit yossi, basically. So may yossi hit yossi, so to speak. Not that, the person's, not the exact words. The person that's up for a din, up for a judgment, didn't say the name yossi, said God's name. But here they're going to say it in a different form. Nigmar hadin. But what happens at the end of the din to make sure once they finally enter the bdika, then they're about to give the conclusion of the case. They have to make sure they actually heard what it is, what was going on here. So motzien eskola adam bechutz. Everyone left the courthouse. V'sholem es hagadol sheba edim. The greatest basically of the Edim would be asked, right? So the Edim Omer Lo and said, say and more, Masha Shemata, what did you hear? The Perush, exactly what did you hear? Who Omer? And he would say it, Mamash. The Dayanim Omdim Al Ragleim, and they would stand up, the Dayanim, the judges, the Korin, and they would rip their shirts. It's not the first time we're talking about it. They would rip their shirts. The last time we talked about the Kriya was Velomachim. We said the same thing. You can't mend your shirt. Where did that come up? It came up when the Talmud Chacham, when a Rav or your Rav Amuvok, passes away. So you rip the Kriya and you don't mend the shirt. So to hear, when they hear Megadet, if they hear someone blaspheme God, they would, Namish, that was their reaction. About Eid Hasheini Omer, what about the second Eid with the next? There always has to be two Edim, so the next witness would also say this? No. Omer, Afani Kemosu Shemati. I also heard the exact same thing. lot of people were there. They have to say, I heard the exact same thing. But again, not to say those words directly. In general, when we have a halacha that if you're saying something and you change it within a couple of seconds, as they're still talking in the midst of them speaking, so in that case, we don't view that as being a problem. That's actually correct what you originally were saying. So you're saying something wrong and then you're fixing what you have to say. Boom, you're still good to go. Hello. Right, so that doesn't work here, but Megadish, right? If they realize what they were saying, and boom, they try to bring it back. Ain't no clum, it's nothing. Once you're already blasphemed in front of witnesses, you get skiva. Misha gidev et Hashem b'shem avodas chachavim, right? Kenayim pogim bo v'horgim oso. Let's say someone wants to blaspheme God, right, himself with God's name, but then also use the name of a false god. Remember, you have to use two different names. We pointed out earlier. The first, Dalet, right, Nun, then Yud, and then one of the names of Hashem. So here, let's see, and then you use one of the names of a not real god, right, a fake god. So, a false god. So, Kenai and Pogimbo. So they talk about Pinchas as the Kenai and Pogimbo, Kenai. So a zealous individual is allowed to go and the Horgino, so, the zealous people are allowed to basically go up and kill them. It's not like a judicial process. They're allowed to go. There's certain times where for the zealousness of individuals like when Pentecost, you can take action into your own hands. That being lower guru, let's say the zealous people didn't kill him. Uvola basin, and then he comes to the basin. And this guy, they wouldn't get skilo. Right, you have to directly have this appropriate, again, as we pointed out earlier, the exact the exact equation, so to speak, of cursing towards again God. Okay, good. Halacha Yud will close out. Berachas Hashem. Again, Berachas Hashem is not a bracha to Hashem. This is the Nal Shnaki to talk about cursing. Chayav Likro, anyone that hears this would have to rip their garments. Not only the Yonim did that, but if you were standing there, you were a witness to the experience, you have to rip your clothing. V'afilu al berchas hakinuyin, Chayav Likro, v'hu sheyishma enno miyisrael. Even if, basically, the blasphemy is coming with other terms to use, or some people point out maybe using the word rachum or chanun. We talked about earlier using God's name. Right, the various names that could refer to God's name. So we see that again, Rachum, Rachanun might be the same in this case. These are Kinuyim. These are kind of like these other names that refer to the same thing. So you would, right? So Chayav Likro v'hu sheyish men b'Yisrael. You have to still rip your garments in that situation, as long as you heard it directly from a Jew. What happens if you hear it from a non-Jew? Right, the person that they heard it firsthand or secondhand, they have to rip. But if you heard it from a non-Jew, then you have to rip. Haya Yisrael Mumar. So if you remember, Rav Shakeh was Sancheriv's general. So here, Al-Yakim and Shevna ripped on this occasion. Ah, he's not a Jew. No. He's Shalom Mumar. He was a Jew, and he was an apostate. So that's why they ripped in that case. Okay, just in case you're wondering, I just told you by Avodah Sechavim, by a non-Jew doing Megadev, cursing God, you don't have to rip. In this case, that wasn't the case. It was the Yisrael Mumar. In advance of stoning this individual, everyone would put their hands on this individual who was Megadev. Your blood is on your hands, it's on your head. You caused this. There is not a single other case of Haruge Basin, of cases where Basin would put someone to death. The only case that everyone will put their hands on to do this type of smicha and say this type of thing would be when it comes to a blasphemer. because the pasuk specifically says you should do this. Okay, so what have we covered in today's halachos? Again, we jump into some of the details regarding avodah zarah, but then beyond that, we talk about kind of the idea of paying any attention towards avodah zarah or any other questions that might come up in our hearts that might cause us to leave the ways and the paths of the Torah. That would all be problematic. And we point out how significant the Zorah is, that they're considered to be like all the other mitzvos, both in the good way and in the bad way. If you accept it, it's a problem. And if you deny the Zorah, so then it's like you acknowledge all the Torah, et cetera, et cetera. Good. What about a Jew that actually did serve the Zorah? So you pointed out, do we treat them like a non-Jew? Discussion about to what extent, but we treat them as a non-Jew. And then we pointed out basically the last half of the parak from Vav to Yud, not only the halachos of a blasphemer, you know, Megadeth, but also to connect why Megadeth is connected in these halachos, because ultimately it's all about the same idea. Turning away from God and cursing God and turning away from God's power and God's control over the world is all what Avodah Zarah is all about, and it ultimately undermines the entirety of our Jewish religion. Have a wonderful day, and we'll pick up with the third parak tomorrow.